not involved up at the Northtown Mall. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know that that's where it happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is MMA Torch editor Jamie Pettick, and this is the daily audio update for Friday, August 15th, 2008. Got a bunch of stuff to check on today, so we'll just jump right into it. First off, some more John Alessio, Jake Shields, Elite XC talk here. That fight, which has been heavily rumored to be on their September 20th Showtime date, is no longer going to be taking place. For multiple reasons. First off, John Alessio told MMAJunkie.com that he won't be ready in time for the fight in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Quote Alessio, September 20th is the date Elite XC brought up, and that's just too soon for my arm. He broke his arm in a June victory over Pete Spratt. And he had surgery 3 days after the fight, he said, and he's had a cast on it for a little while. But he's back in training, but he's had to take 5 weeks off, and being ready for a five-round fight by September is too much. He said he is 100% into fight Shields. He just needs more time. That he says if they can make it happen for the October 4th show, it's a go, but he doesn't know what their plans are, so... Alessio's out for that, but as far as Jake Shields is concerned, on SureDog, there's a story on Jake Shields negotiating to fight at 185 pounds with a different organization. This according to his father and manager, Jack Shields. SureDog credits MMA Weekly for reporting this story yesterday. Jack is quoted as saying Jack has been offered an opportunity to fight a top five middleweight and he would love to do it. The intended opponent hasn't been, revealed, nor has the promotion. So we'll see what this is, what this brings and who, he'll end up facing here. SureDog speculates the possibilities out of the Pro Elite family are Strikeforce fighters Kung Lee and Frank Shamrock. Shamrock, of course, was one of the people that Shields said that he would like to fight after defeating Nick Thompson in July. Affliction also is a possibility. They could alter the Matt Lindland-Vitor Belfort fight to secure a fight with Shields, according to SureDog here. So, Dream, of course, is another promotion that's a possibility, as they've been working with Nick Diaz, and they've got a tournament on September 23rd. Well, they've got a championship fight from their Grand Prix tournament on September 23rd. Jack's final quote here is, Elite has been cool in the past about letting their fighters fight outside of their organization. Jake's a fighting champion, and he likes a challenge, and they know that. We're trying to work it out with them. So, this would be good for Shields. Not necessarily good for Pro Elite and Elite XC to have their champion fighting outside of the organization. Were he to face legit top five competition and just get handled, that would not look good, of course, on Elite XC. But for Shields as a fighter, he wants to fight the best competition, and quite frankly, it's not in Elite XC. So this would be a good thing for him, and we'll stick around and stay tuned to this story to see if anything comes of it. Speaking of fighters wanting to face competition but not necessarily getting a chance to, on this week's MMA Live show on ESPN.com, Kenny Florian says he wants to fight again soon. So if BJ Penn moves up and faces George St. Pierre before this year is out, Kenny Florian wants to fight again. He alluded to this a bit in the post-fight press conference that he'd be ready to fight again around when the GSP BJ Penn fight goes down. It's just reiterated here on MMA Live. Quote Florian, "I don't want to wait around for too long. I want to stay busy. I'm a fighter. I want to fight again before the year's end. I can't wait for BJ that long. That would put me out for 8 months at least. I do want to fight again. I want to fight another top guy. The fighter in me doesn't want to be left in limbo. The fan in me would love to see that fight, to be honest, George St. Pierre and BJ Penn." So he's saying he wants to see that fight, but, you know, we'll see what happens here and who he goes against. So we'll see what's in store for Kenny Florian here. I'm sure he'll get a fight against another top level fighter if this BJ Penn George St. Pierre fight does in fact come to fruition. Speaking of UFC, Dana White is interviewed in the newest edition of Playboy magazine. 411mania.com took some quotes from the interview from the Wrestling Observer. So here's some quick hits from that interview that will be on newsstands, looks like today, actually. So this interview is on newsstands today, so definitely check it out. On UFC's place among the major American sports, Dana White is quoted as saying, "What are the major sports in America right now? NFL, Major League Baseball, with the NBA third. The NHL was fourth, but now we're fourth, and we're still in our infancy. Our ratings on Spike TV beat most of the major sports in our 18 to 34 demo. Last year, we beat 4 Monday Night Football games in the demo. In 8 years, the UFC will be bigger than the NFL, bigger than World Cup soccer. It will be the biggest sport in the world." Of course, this is a quote that Dana White has used on multiple occasions, and, you know, it's got an air of legitimacy to it. I mean, it's obviously, he's got a grandiose view of where the UFC is at and where it could be, but it's not necessarily a wrong view. I mean, the fact that they beat out 4 Monday Night Football games in the main 18 to 34 demo that they're looking at last year is big. The 18 to 34 demo is they're the sports fans of the future. Obviously, they're the sports fans of the present, but more so of the future. And MMA has a legit case to be made for it being a bigger sport in 8 years than all of this stuff, especially with the UFC's expansion in all over the world. They're looking at running shows everywhere, according to Dana White. I mean, the next one is probably in the Philippines, but I mean that's going to go anywhere. They're looking to bring fights to Mexico. They're looking to bring fights to South America. They're looking to bring fights all over Europe and Asia. So, I mean, they want to go everywhere, and Dana's serious about that. More from the interview on Mark Cuban and Donald Trump getting involved in MMA. He says, "Mark Cuban's a smart guy. He's passionate about basketball, but I don't think he gives a shit about mixed martial arts. He sees some quick money in it." He also goes on to say, "Trump is different. I have a ton of respect for him. When the Fertittas bought the UFC, most venues wouldn't deal with us. We were outlaws. Our first event was at the Trump Taj Mahal, and Trump actually came to the fights. You'll never hear me say a bad word about Donald Trump. He can have my seats anytime." So, a lot of respect for Donald Trump by Dana White, and you know what? Trump has definitely been a supporter of MMA, obviously, here back to the Fertittas and Dana White's first involvement as UFC owners, and now with Trump in affliction. So, a lot of respect for Trump from Dana White. He also has some comments on Tito Ortiz, as always, but continued with that this is what he's quoted with in Playboy: "That big mouth bitch, that clown. Back when he had the title, he refused to fight Chuck Liddell. He sat on the sidelines for a year and a half crying, 'Oh, I don't have any money.' So I brought him back and made him a coach on The Ultimate Fighter. That year he made more than $6 million, yet he bitches about me. Well, I put up with Tito shit when he was a decent fighter, but now he's not, and I don't have to. That's the big quote right there, and you know what? I'm with Dana on the fact that Tito hasn't won a fight in 2 years. As I said in yesterday's update, he's a big name, and he'll get some money from Affliction, but he hasn't won a fight in 2 years, so I don't blame Dana for not wanting to deal with that anymore. More UFC speculation. The MMA blog MMAshoot.com. There was an interview with PWB's official podcast hotline with Matt Hughes, and quick quote from that on a potential match with Matt Serra. He said, "Right now, I've talked to Joe Silva quite a few times, and we're looking at maybe January. He's told me it's going to be Matt Serra, so I'm looking at January or February. That'll give my knee plenty of time to heal, if it's natural. If I have to go under the knife, I don't know what my time frame will be." So, we're looking at Matt Hughes, Matt Serra, possibly for January. That's a fight that's a year and a half in the making right now from their season of The Ultimate Fighter, and it's some that everyone wants to see. So, hopefully his knee heals up quick and we can see that fight. There's some more quotes, and he touches on Tiago Alves and George St. Pierre, John Fitch from UFC 87, which I respectfully disagree with his take on it. He said he was kind of bored with it, and he actually left halfway through the third round. So, okay, Matt, if that's what you think, but so MMAshoot.com has a link for that podcast interview, so check that out. More UFC news. The official UFC 88 full fight card was announced by UFC. So the main card for that show, Saturday, September 6th, obviously headlined by Rashad Evans against Chuck Liddell. Rich Franklin moving up to 205 to take on Matt Hamill. Carl Parisian back in action against Yoshiyuki Yoshida. Dan Henderson back in action against Rusamar Polaris. And Martin Kampman against Nate Marquardt. So, very solid main card. Looking forward to Rich Franklin at 205 against Matt Hamill. It's going to give Hamill a chance to kind of defeat a big name opponent. I've been a fan of Hamill since The Ultimate Fighter. Was one of those that thought he got robbed against Michael Bisping. So here's a chance for him to get back against a top name guy, and a chance for Rich Franklin to retest the waters at 205 against a legit guy in Matt Hamill. Evans Liddell. Kind of Liddell trying to gain some ground and get back into it after picking up the victory against Wanderlei Silva last December, and this fight was supposed to happen obviously in June, and Liddell's injury forced it off. So for Evans, this is a big fight and a chance for him to kind of further legitimize himself in the light heavyweight division. I mean, the man's undefeated, so we'll see if he has a dominant performance against Chuck Liddell, people can take him seriously. I don't know why they're not right now, but he should be. Chuck Liddell, it's a chance for him to kind of continue redeeming himself after losing the light heavyweight title to Rampage last year and picking up a victory against Wanderlei Silva, so it's a chance for him to further get back into that title picture. Carl Parisian gets a chance to redeem himself after losing to Tiago Alves last year. Dan Henderson gets back in after losing both of his belts last year. Nate Marquardt gets a chance to kind of get a redemption victory. It's kind of a redeem card here, so we'll see how the main card plays out. On the prelims, you got Kurt Pellegrino against Thiago Tavares, Tim Boach against James Lee, Matt Brown against Dong Hyun Kim, Hong Carnero against Ryo Chonin, and Jason Day against Jason Lambert. So that's UFC 88 from Atlanta. Should be a good show. Of course, you'll have plenty of coverage here on MMATorch.com, including our podcast roundtable, as well as live coverage from myself and Sean Ennis, most likely. So stay tuned for that. Last little bit to announce today. Pete Spratt has been booked for Strikeforce's October 3rd event, as well as a fight between Frank Trigg and Felinico Vital is a possibility for that show. Frank Trigg is saying that he doesn't want to guarantee it. He doesn't want to sign the contract because he has a fight in Japan next week, and he doesn't want to promise that he'll be there and not be able to compete because of an injury. So he hasn't signed that contract, but he meets Makoto Takemoto at the Sengoku 4 event, so it'll be Trigg's first fight in more than 8 months, so depending on if he comes away from that unscathed, he could be on the October 3rd show for Strikeforce. So that's all I've got for today. It's been another long podcast today, so check out Jason Bent's new column on the main page, Brock Lesnar is for real, or Brock Lesnar is real, good for the sport. That's the title of his article. It's looking at fan perception of Brock Lesnar and his post-fight antics. So another good article from Jason, so keep a lookout for that, and check back tomorrow for another Daily Audio Podcast. Thank you.